Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. India is home to the biggest film industry in the world. It produces more than 900 movies a year and has a fan base that is larger than the populations of Europe and America combined. Now, there are movies made in different parts of India and in different languages, but the city of Bombay, or as many people call it now, Mumbai, is kind of like India's Hollywood, so much so that someone blended the names of the two cities together to create Bollywood, which now has come to refer not so much to a place as to a style of filmmaking. This morning in this part of Focus 580, we'll talk about popular Indian cinema with Stephen Alter. He is a writer of both fiction and nonfiction. He was born and grew up in India and is the author of a book that's titled Fantasies of a Bollywood Love Thief. The subtitle is Inside the World of Indian Movie Making. It's published by Harcourt, and he's now spending some time in the United States. Good enough to give us some of his time today to talk about the book and about movie making in India. Questions, of course, are welcome from people who are listening. The number, if you're here in Champaign-Urbana, where we are, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, and that one is good anywhere that you can hear us. That is 800-222-9455. So 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. That may or may not make it easier for you to remember the number. But at any point here, questions and comments certainly are welcome from people who are listening. Mr. Alter, hello.
Yes, hi. Good morning.
Well, thanks for talking with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
I think that perhaps even, you know, there might be people listening who have seen Indian art films and think they have seen Indian movies, and I suppose they have, and yet unless you've seen one of these kinds of movies, the Indian commercial cinema, I'm not sure one really has seen a real Indian movie. What would you say define, what are the defining characteristics of a Bollywood film?
Well, I think you're right in the sense that there are so many different kinds of films being made in India, and the parentheses that get put around Bollywood sometimes expand and contract depending on who's the expert talking at that particular moment. But I think that the commercial cinema, I mean, there are certain characteristics that I think everybody's familiar with. I think the importance of music and dance, not just to drive the story, but also to sell the film, is crucial to most big budget Bollywood productions, and that's probably the most evident thing that people notice first.
And that's I'm guessing that for Western audiences, people who aren't familiar with these movies, that's also the thing that they don't quite get,
right?
Because it seems a little. I guess as I understand it, the song and the dance is, in a sense, in service of the story, in the sense that it's important to, it makes some commentary on what it is that, I guess, the characters are supposed to be experiencing. And yet, at the same time, it's a separate element. And that so that if you're watching one of these movies, the story might be going along, and then suddenly you would find yourself watching the principals doing a musical number that maybe on the face of it doesn't seem to have anything to do with the movie. It may not be set where the movie is set. It could be anywhere in the world. And I think that leaves a lot of people kind of scratching their head and wondering, well, wait a minute, what exactly does this have to, why is this in the movie? But as you say, for these kind of movies, that's a very important thing.
Well, certainly. And I think that the songs, in a sense, punctuate the film in many ways, and it's something that viewers in India expect from a film. If you go to a film and there aren't at least three songs, if not six, you come away feeling a little bit disappointed or cheated in the process. But I think the interesting thing for me watching them, and I've watched them since childhood, is that those are moments where sort of the imagination takes flight. Those fantasies come into play. And it doesn't matter if 2 minutes before you were having a very, tragic deathbed scene, and then suddenly your character is transported to the Himalayas and is singing a love song to his beloved. The I mean, it's not just a sort of suspension of disbelief. As I say, it's a sort of embracing a conceit, in a sense, where you're able to travel distances through those songs. And I think they allow people that sense of escape from the sort of realities that those characters are facing in the storyline.
Mm. And certainly in India, the world of popular music and the world of cinema are very closely linked in the sense that the songs also do have an independent existence all to their own. In some cases, it's quite common, in fact, for the songs from a movie to be released in advance of the movie, because that helps to build up interest, because that gets people jazzed about wanting to see the movie. Apparently, there's a lot of speculation and excitement. People wonder, well, what are they going to do in the movie to dramatize the song?
Exactly. Well, and I think that, I mean, it's a marketing device. To beat all marketing devices, because it gets played, these songs get played as promos on TV now, several weeks before the film comes out. And then, of course, the audio cassettes are out there, and people are listening to those both at home and on the radio. So the songs, in a sense, get the excitement going. And in many cases, there are songs that have nothing to do with the film itself. What are sometimes referred to as item numbers, which are inserted into a film simply to either titillate the audience or get their toes tapping or whatever it may be. And those songs sometimes just get placed over the credits at the beginning or the end, but they are used to sell the film well in advance.
Hmm. What are there some more, do you think, significant... I'm sure that there are ways in which the film industries in the United States and India are similar, but also ways in which they are very in their approach to, maybe it's their approach to storytelling or the kind of stories that they like or something like that, that they're wildly, wildly different. And so maybe you could talk about that. In what ways would you say that really their approaches are very different?
Well, it's interesting. And one of the people that I've quoted in the book, Javed Akhtar, who was one of the most successful story writers for Hindi cinema and is now a lyricist, and he was comparing it. He said that American films are very much like a short story or a novella, whereas Hindi cinema is more like an epic. And I think that the idea that the storyline can digress, the storyline can include all kinds of different emotions, different highs and lows, comedy, tragedy. All of that can be squeezed into the film. Whereas I think most Hollywood productions, there's this sort of sense that it has to be a taut, straightforward, gripping storyline, which has been tightly edited in that way. Whereas Hindi films, by and large, do digress. I mean, the camera will wander off in a different direction that you're not expecting. And yet, all of that sort of lends to the emotional power and the excitement of the film, because sometimes what you see out of the corner of your eye amplifies what is there directly in front of the camera.
Mm. How do you have any idea, or does anybody have any idea, how this particular style of movie making, this approach to story, this combination of elements actually comes together?
Well, there are a number of people who've sort of gone into the history of filmmaking, Indian filmmaking, tried to link it to theater, 19th century, 18th century theater. I think there are links. The Nautanki performances in northern India always combined song, storytelling, poetry recitations. They were a sort of folk burlesque that has, I think, influenced the way in which Hindi films are put together. There's always some element of mythology, whether it's from the epics or some other mythological source that comes into play. So Nautanki, people talk about the Parsi theater in Bombay. I'm not an expert on any of these things, but I do feel that there is this tradition of theater in India that mixes song, dance, storytelling, poetry, and drama all together in performances that often went on all night long. Mm. And the other thing about Hindi films is they are, by and large, longer than, at least by 30 to 45 minutes, longer than most films made in the U.S.
They would, I think that they would test the endurance of a lot of American viewers, although if you gave them an intermission, a chance to, you know, take a walk in between reels, I maybe that would be okay.
Well, the interval is a very important part of you do get to catch your breath, and you get to absorb what has hit you in the last hour or so, and then brace yourself for what comes after that. Mm.
Our guest in this part of Focus 580, Stephen Alter. He is a writer of both fiction and nonfiction, someone who was born and grew up in India and has been watching Indian movies for a long time, and so has produced a book that is titled Fantasies of a Bollywood Love Thief Inside the World of Indian Movie Making, which takes a little bit of a look at this industry and also tells a story that runs through the book of some people who make a movie, an Indian film based on the story of Shakespeare's Othello, and he, in a sense, kind of looks over their shoulders as they go from the process of conceiving it to actually making the movie to the premiere. And the book, Fantasies of a Bollywood Love Thief, it's paperback. It's published by Harcourt. It's out now if you'd like to look at it. And, of course, questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. I think that it is true that if you look at the films that are made in different countries, that there will be a kind of a prevailing emotional sort of tone to them that will tell you something about those people. At least it will tell you the kind of stories that they're interested in, and you know, whether they're basically interested in happy stories or sad stories, or when, you know, if they'd like to see lovers get together, or they somehow find it more pleasing in a sense that lovers never do quite get together. And, you know, it tells you all sorts of your attitudes on all sorts of things, like gender relations and family and duty and responsibility, and, you know, to what extent you can do what you want and to what extent you have to do what is expected of you, all those sorts of things, and particularly those things you see a lot of those kinds of issues in various Asian cinemas. Is there, would you say, that some kind of prevailing sort of tone or theme or something in these movies that filmmakers come back to again and again?
Well, I think it would be difficult to generalize too much on that, but I do think that the vast majority of Hindi films certainly have a happy ending. The idea that all's well that ends well is certainly part of the formula to many films. That said, there are certainly a number of tragedies that make it to the Hindi screen. Omkara, the film that I followed, which is the retelling of Othello, obviously has a very tragic ending, and that was one of the issues when the film was being made, as to whether audiences were willing to accept a film in which at least four of the main characters end up dead in the last 5 minutes. It's tragedy certainly is a part of Hindi films, but I would say by and large, the happy ending is something that people are looking for and expecting in many cases. Sometimes it's a very syrupy happy ending. Sometimes it's a somewhat ambivalent happy ending. But usually there's at least something at the end that cheers you up, or you walk out of the cinema not entirely in tears.
Yeah. I recall in the book someone who was associated with this movie, and I think this was early on where they were still working on the story, said something like, "This is a movie where I don't want to watch the last 15 minutes."
Exactly.
Because he knew that it was going to be painful and difficult and sad and tragic, and essentially everybody was going to die.
Exactly.
How did when this movie and you followed all the way along and got a chance to watch them work on the story and work on the music and actually do some of the filming and go to the premiere?
Sure.
How did this movie do? Did people like it?
Well, I think critically it was very well received. I mean, it got rave reviews all over the country. And abroad as well. But I think that it did not, it wasn't a super-duper hit as some people would like to imagine that it could have been. I think for a couple of reasons. One was the tragic ending. I don't think it's a film that, you walk out. I think many Hindi cinema as well as cinema all over the world does depend on people coming back to watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a film that you want to immediately go back into the theater and watch again, because it is depressing at the end. The other side of it was that it had very strong language for Hindi cinema, and Hindi cinema by and large is fairly conservative. And to use the number of obscenities and the sort of coarse slang of that part of UP, which is a state in northern India, challenged the censors. I mean, it was received an A certificate for adults, and it wasn't a film that anybody took the family to. So for those two reasons, it didn't become a super hit. But at the same time, it has become what I would like to think is something of a cult film, and I have a feeling it's going to stay around for a very long time.
Mm.
It did extremely well outside of India, in London particularly.
As you say, I think it is true, it may well be true around the world, that really the way that you make, that a movie makes a lot of money is if you can get people to go back and see it more than once. Or if you can get a gazillion people to see it one time and buy a ticket, that's one thing. But the movies that have made big money, it is because people have go back again and again to see the movie.
Sure.
And you talked in the book about the fact that most movies that are made, most Bollywood movies, in fact, aren't successful. You do note one in particular, though. You talk a little bit about this movie. Actually, I guess, in fairness, this was the movie at the time that you were writing this book that was the longest playing film in the history of Indian cinema.
Yes.
This was a movie that the title translated into English is The Brave Heart Will Take the Bride. And in spring of 2005, this movie had been running for 500 weeks.
And it's still running.
Is it still running? Oh, okay.
It's
still the longest running film in Indian cinema.
Still the longest. Well, it runs as a matinee show, to be completely fair. But it's Dilwale Dulhania Le Jayenge, which, as you translate it, is Brave Hearts Will Take the Bride. If anything has a happy ending, this is the one. And this is a big family saga. It crosses continents and it was an extremely popular film when it came out, and has remained so over the years. But it's a very different film from, say, Omkara, just because it just in style, approach to filmmaking and the happy ending.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking this morning again with Stephen Alter. You have questions. We do have someone ready to go here who'd like to join the conversation. Other people certainly are welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. The caller here is in Kankakee on our toll free line. Hello.
Much is made of the tour de force presentations of Bollywood films. But are there not also commonalities with the grand musicals of golden age Hollywood cinema? Thank you.
All right.
I think so. And I think so. Certainly the films in being made in India during the 50s and 60s, they were certainly looking at, whether it was South Pacific or West Side Story or whatever it may be. I mean, those musicals certainly provided inspiration for some of the filmmakers of that era, and the use of song in some cases is quite similar.
Other questions, welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. What would be an average budget for a Bollywood movie?
It's quite a bit less than film budgets here in the U.S., but continues growing, and that's one of the remarkable things that, as I was following the process, and I was engaged in the process for about a year and a half, and the budgets that people kept quoting kept going higher and higher. Money is measured in crores and lakhs, which won't make any sense to your listeners, but I think the film's around 10 to $15 million. That's a budget for a fairly big film, which is considerably less than what something that Brad Pitt might be in.
Yeah. And is it the case that is, I think here, certainly in the United States, one of the things that if you have a movie that has an enormous budget, it's probably because you've got big star or stars in it, and they're commanding very large salaries. And I guess that there are people who get, who maybe get $5 million or $10 million, or, you know, maybe it's even more than that now, just for making a single movie. What's this for the big stars? What sort of money are we talking about?
Well, I think many of them are now commanding, $1 million, $2 million, the equivalent. It's always very hard to know exactly what people are being offered, because sometimes a producer will say, oh, I'm paying, ₹3 crore or ₹6 crore to some particular actor. And you're never quite sure whether the producer is just hyping the film or whether, in fact, the person is getting that kind of money. It's much clearer now. Much more of the funding is above board. In fact, most of it is now above board. And you can look at budgets and break them down. But actors are getting anywhere from the big name actors are getting anywhere from $500,000 to $2 million for a film.
Mm-hmm. So a crore is 1 million rupees. Is that
yes?
Right. How much is that in dollars these days?
Well, the dollar is shrinking, so it's around $225,000. Roughly.
There was a time when apparently there was a lot of involvement of organized crime in Bollywood. Is that still the case?
It's certainly much, much less now. What happened was that until 1990, I believe it was 96 or 98, filmmaking was not really considered an legitimate industry by the government of India. And that meant that filmmakers couldn't go out and get a bank loan or, financing in the way that people would ordinarily fund a project like that. So many of the filmmakers did turn to what's often referred to as black money, money that had links to crime. Not all of them did, obviously. And but those that did obviously weighed the consequences, and there were a number of instances where there was extortion, in fact a couple of murders even, within the film industry as a result of films that had flopped and investments that had failed. Even right now, just in the past month or so, there was a very high-profile trial of a man named Sanjay Dutt, who's one of the top Bollywood actors, certainly from the 80s and 90s, and he had just been jailed partly because of his associations with organized crime in Bombay, and as a result, a sort of tangential link with a terrorist bombing that took place in Bombay. So it's very much there as a sort of part of the film industry. Much, much less so now.
We are at our midpoint here. Our guest is Stephen Alter. He was born and grew up in India and has a great affection for Indian movies. He's the author of 7 books of fiction, 4 books of nonfiction, including Elephas Maximus, that's a portrait of the Indian elephant, and Sacred Waters, a pilgrimage up the Ganges River to the source of Hindu culture. He has authored a book that's about movie making in India, Fantasies of a Bollywood Love Thief, Inside the World of Indian Movie Making. It's published by Harcourt. It's paperback, and it's a very interesting book. It might make a good introduction to you of Indian movie making, and then you might actually want to go out and see if you could find some movies to watch. 333-9455 is the number here if you'd like to call in with questions. Toll-free 800-222-9455. Well, if you were going to suggest to people if they had never seen a Bollywood film, would there be a couple of titles that you would say, if you can find this film, I would say watch this?
Certainly. I think one of the things that a lot of your listeners may not realize is that Bollywood films are probably more available in the U.S. than you think they are. If you go to any Indian grocery store, there's usually a large collection of DVDs and videos that you can check out. And so you can get films from the 50s, you can get films from the 90s, you can get films from yesterday on loan. I think that you mentioned Dilwale Dulhania Le Jayenge, which is usually abbreviated as DDLJ. That certainly, if somebody wants to see something big and glossy and glamorous, that's probably, of contemporary cinema, that's something to see. If people want to see older films, some of the classics, there's a wonderful film called Mughal-e Azam, which was made in the 50s and is a historical film based on the Mughal emperors in North India. There are my advice actually would be to go to the grocery store and ask the owner what he or she recommends, because what you'll get in many cases is either something has just come out and will give you a sense of what the industry is doing right now.
All right. I think we have another caller here coming in. Again, people who would like to call with questions, comments, you can give us a call, 333-9455. That is for Champaign-Urbana. We do also have a toll-free line, which means if it would be a long-distance call for you, use that number. That's 800-222-9455. We have someone here next calling from on the campus on our line number one. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Uh-huh.
I was just wondering if the guest has seen Chak De India, and it is going to be shown in this town this Friday and Saturday at our theater. And I'm enjoying what you're talking about, Indian films and all that, and about the songs, the sudden eruptions of songs. They are actually pretty much dreams of those actors and actresses. That's what I think about, I mean, about the characters, you know, that's what they are thinking and imagining. And that's how the viewer should look at it, I think. And only then you can enjoy it, because if you try to make connections, that is hard.
Right. Well, that, no, I think your comparison with dreams or daydreams, I think, is definitely appropriate, and is a good way to consider them. I haven't, unfortunately, haven't had a chance to see Chak De India yet, but I look forward to watching it. It's certainly done extremely well in India, mm-hmm. and seems to be. I mean, Shah Rukh Khan is always fun to watch,
right?
And so I'm sure it's a film well worth going to.
Yes, and yeah, that's, I wanted to people also to know, if they want to see anything right away, this weekend we have two shows in the town. Thank you very much.
All right, well, thank you. And again, questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. And I'm sure that there are also, I know that the Urbana Public Library, I think, has some Bollywood films. I know there's at least one rental store in town that has quite a good international collection. So I'm sure that there are places you can go to rent these movies if you're curious and would like to see what they're like. I think that they're a lot of fun. They are a little, they're different. Obviously, they're different maybe from the kind of movies that American audiences are used to seeing. But I think that's, I don't know, that makes for a great experience to see something that is unlike anything that you have seen before. I think that's a good way to think about it.
And I think it's important to go in with as few expectations as possible, in the sense of, and by expectation I mean preconceptions. I think that go and enjoy the film like you would any other, whether you were watching you know, Pablo Almodovar or Alfred Hitchcock, it's going to be a different experience, and hopefully film will surprise you. If it's a good film, it will surprise you, maybe shock you and delight you, hopefully.
There are some actors from European cinema and also from East Asian cinema that have made movies in the United States and have had some success. And I wonder what, you know, particularly people in Bollywood think about the possibility of some of the biggest stars in India, in popular Indian cinema, trying to break into the market in the United States and actually perform in movies made in the United States and made outside of India. And I know Aishwarya Rai has been in movies made outside of India. And there are certainly other Indian actors who have appeared, particularly in movies made in Britain.
Sure.
Is there anyone who really has the opportunity to be, in a sense, a breakout kind of performer, having international success in an English language movie?
I think the potential is certainly there. I mean, there are actors like Amitabh Bachchan, who is sort of the godfather of Hindi film right now. Shah Rukh Khan also is certainly someone who could hold his own in any kind of cinema. I think the problem is less with the actors and their abilities and more with the studios and their conservative approach to filmmaking, and whether a Hollywood studio would be willing to take the risk other than giving an actor a small character role. I think that it's a big question, and it's a good question because certainly in Bombay, people are sort of waiting for that moment when there will be that sort of crossover film or that breakthrough film. There was a period there where people thought, well, Hollywood is going to come to us, because a number of Hollywood filmmakers were coming to Bombay and looking for projects, looking for finance, looking for these kinds of things. Nothing much has come of it. My feeling is that what will probably happen is that at some point, producers in Bombay are going to come over to the U.S. and hire an actor like Al Pacino or someone like that to act in a Hindi film, which I think, frankly, would be far more interesting.
Mm-hmm. So have you actually, is that something people talk about, even in an abstract kind of sense?
Oh, I think, film people talk.
I'm sure they talk a lot.
They talk a lot, and they certainly, and it's not always the abstract. I mean, sometimes it's the fantastic. But I think that there's certainly the possibility of it. I mean, the money is there, even though the budgets of Hindi films are quite a bit less than Hollywood films. I think the money is certainly there, and the potential is there. I think the right script has to be found, the right sort of, the director who has the right temperament has to be found, and it will happen. I'm convinced it will happen, at least within the next 10 years. Whether it happens that side of the world or in Hollywood, I can't say for sure, but there is going to be this moment where something crosses over.
Mm. I know that in various countries where movies are made and where they have established film industries, I'm sure that there is frustration with the number of American-made films that are showing that they have to compete with. So they're having to compete with Hollywood movies with stars in them that are well-known internationally, that are guaranteed to sell tickets probably no matter where it is you show the movie.
Sure.
Here now in India, we have this very big, very established industry with a very big established audience. How do they feel about Hollywood, and do American-made films constitute any kind of real competition for the kind of movies that we're talking about?
Sure. Well, I think that, I mean, obviously they do compete, and the distributors now in India are bringing Hollywood films in almost as soon as they're released in L.A. In many cases, the films are being dubbed in Hindi. So you are seeing whether it's Pirates of the Caribbean or, you know, One Night at the Museum or whatever it may be, with not with subtitles, but actually dubbed into Hindi. Spider-Man as well is an example that came out recently. And those films, by and large, play well. I mean, they obviously have the hype surrounding them, and they do attract audiences. At the same time, I don't think they eat into the profits that Hindi cinema generates. I think that they're certainly, I mean, they're viewers on both sides. But at the same time, I think that the two kinds of films are so very different that people will not choose one over the other. It's a question of, yes, I'll go see Spider-Man today, and I'm not going to see Chakdi India. Instead, they'll see one one day and then the other the next day.
Our guest in this part of Focus 580, Stephen Alter. He is a writer. He's authored both fiction and non, and is the author of a book, Fantasies of a Bollywood Love Thief. It takes a look inside the world of Indian movie making. Harcourt is the publisher. Questions welcome, 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Here's another caller here in Champaign County, where we are. It's line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning.
I have a question about the audience in India. Like, what would be the cost of a typical movie ticket in, like, Bombay? And then also, is there, a target audience? Like, in the United States, most movies are aimed at teenagers and young adults are the ones who, you know, support Hollywood. Is there a target audience for Indian movies? Thank you.
All right.
Sure. Well, I think there are different target audiences, obviously. I think that there are certain films like Dhoom, which is a sort of motorcycle romance, which is aimed at a younger audience. But the films that really set out to make a lot of money aim, I think, largely at a family audience. The idea is that the family is going to go to the cinema together and watch this film, and then they're going to come back and see it again with other family members, and as a result, it sort of creates an audience through word of mouth in that way. I think that the experience of watching a film in a cinema in India is something that's very, very different from other places. It's the audience participates, particularly if it's a film that they're enjoying. You will have the hooting and whistling, of course, but then there will be people who have seen a film several times and will remember the dialogues, will remember the lyrics of the songs, so that when the actors begin singing, you may well find half the audience singing along with them. And it's a very exciting experience. I always enjoy going to a big cinema hall rather than the smaller multiplexes, which are coming up all over India. If you go to a big cinema hall and you've got, you know, 1,200 people or 800 people or to 1,200 people all sitting there watching this film together, and they all gasp at once and they all sing at once, it's a very exciting experience, and it actually makes the whole cinema viewing experience that much more interesting.
Hmm. And the caller also was asking to see a movie in India, what's it cost?
Yes, there are sort of two price levels. One is the big cinema halls. You could see a matinee film for about 50 cents probably, and if you've got a good seat in the balcony, it might be $1.50. Whereas if you go to a multiplex, it would be $2 or $3. I'm doing the calculations very roughly in my head, but that's basically what it would be. So the maximum price for a ticket would be about $3.
And so for down on the lower end, that would be something that would be accessible to most people could afford to pay that much money to go to see the movie?
I think so. Not everybody, but certainly, there is always the front row of seats that you know, get filled up with people. Maybe the idea of 2.5 hours of air conditioning is even more appealing than the film itself. But if you can get that for 12 rupees or 15 or 18 rupees, which is about, 50 cents, it's a very welcome 2.5 hours of air-conditioned entertainment.
Well, believe me, there have been times in my life when, an hour and a half of air conditioning would have been, I wouldn't have cared what they were showing. I would have gone just to sit in the cool theater.
Exactly.
One thing I want to have you talk about is sex, attitudes towards sex and eroticism in the movies, because this is something that I don't know to what extent this is changing, but one of the things that, for example, about Indian movies is that it seems that until fairly recently in Indian films, people didn't even kiss.
Right.
And certainly more open sort of eroticism. I'm sure that there is. People make pornography in India. I probably make pornography every place.
Sure.
But in terms of legitimate cinema, in terms of the kinds of movies that we're showing here, there was much more unsaid and unshown, although it might be hinted at. Is that something that seems to be changing at all?
Well, I think it's certainly changing. I mean, as I think I said earlier, Hindi cinema is conservative by nature. But having said that, there's also a tremendous amount of eroticism in the films. And the eroticism comes through, I think, in ways that we might not think of it here in the U.S. Here in the sense is that either you have a sex scene or you have a nude scene or something like that, whereas the eroticism in Hindi cinema, I mean, the amount that can be conveyed through the eyes alone. An actor like Aishwarya Rai, who you mentioned earlier, her eyes are something that have mesmerized people for a very long time. As an actor, she may not be the best, but her eyes are absolutely mesmerizing, to the extent that you will see her eyes sometimes painted on the bumpers of a auto rickshaw or something like that, and you recognize those eyes.
Hmm.
So the sort of eroticism that comes through that gaze that you have, that close-up shot where she's looking straight at you from the screen, is certainly there. There's also the eroticism in the song and dance routines. I mean, the amount of pelvic thrusting that goes on in many of these songs is really quite remarkable. And I've been to see films with friends from America who've not seen them before, and they come out saying, you know, not a stitch of clothing was taken off, but it was absolutely vulgar. in the sense of what was actually being shown to you on the screen. I mean, people get wet, people get, are sort of thrashing around on the floor and so on and so forth. But it is, I mean, there are certain codes, and there are certain codes that don't get broken. The kissing is the one that most people think about. That, of course, has been broken, and now a number of Hindi films will show kissing. Nudity is certainly controlled a great deal. But I think the other part of the eroticism that I think sometimes gets missed by viewers who aren't from India and are tuned into India is that there are an enormous number of metaphors that get used, in the sense that if suddenly you have a monsoon clouds and lightning and thunder, people know that as an erotic moment. That's something that in classic Indian art is part of the sort of language of eroticism, the idea that the storm building and the clouds sort of ready to burst with rain. And filmmakers in India use those images, and they use them very effectively, so that an audience knows just by the clouds on the horizon what those characters are feeling.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting example that demonstrates that. In fact, I'm sure that this happens anywhere you go. Every culture has their distinct metaphors,
sure.
And that if you don't know them, you might miss things like that. That's part of the things that I suppose you have to learn if you're looking at somebody else's way of telling stories, so that you get the I don't know if you're Sigmund Freud might say, ah, oh, you don't have to be Freud to figure that one out. But maybe there will be those sorts of things, little things that those folks who grew up with those movies know. But for somebody else seeing them for the first time, you wouldn't quite catch.
Sure.
How do they feel about violence? Because certainly there are a lot of gangster movies, for example, made in India, and movies where there is violence. What's their feeling about what you can do and what you can't? And is there a relatively high level of tolerance when it comes to violence?
It's interesting that you asked that right after the question about erotic, because the codes are quite different, mm-hmm. in the sense that you can have extremely violent scenes. I mean, you can have blood flowing in the gutters and people being badly beaten up. You can have very violent rape scenes, and somehow those, I mean, they will get an A certificate for adults only, but nevertheless, those are, if not permissible, at least accepted in adult cinema, as against what might be a very tasteful but erotic scene that would not be acceptable. I think that one of the things, the film Omkara that, again, I write about and I follow, has some extremely violent moments. I mean, there are moments where, quite a bit of blood flows. There's very violent and abusive language as well in the film. And those, obviously, within a gangster, because it's a gangster film, a small-town gangster film, it's sort of expected, and people imagine that sort of a film is going to have its moments of violence. Bullets are going to go through people's heads and things like that. Mm-hmm. One of the interesting moments in this was I was watching a fight scene with the makeup director, and he gave a sort of running commentary as to how all of the wounds would be done with the makeup, and then after the first shot, then you had to wipe it off and you had to recreate that wound. And it was one of those sort of gruesome moments in the film.
He apparently had made quite a study of this subject about various kinds of bullet wounds and the various kinds of damage that they produce.
Exactly, and the language that he uses, I mean, as he describes, some wounds are like an omelet and some wounds are like this. I mean, his own description of those wounds, in a sense, was even more gruesome than what you end up seeing on the film.
Yeah. Just, we're coming down to our last few minutes. Maybe I should ask you to make sure that I ask you about the Love Thief and why it is that you chose to... titled the book Fantasies of a Bollywood Love Thief. Love Thief is a kind of archetypal character that you see in Bollywood movies.
Absolutely, and it's an extremely popular figure in Hindi cinema, someone who steals another person's heart. There are obviously all sorts of variations on the Love Thief. Some are burglars, some are smugglers, some are con men, but it's the sort of lovable criminal in Hindi cinema, and actors like Devanand, for instance, in the famous 70s film or 60s film Jewel Thief, brought that character to life, and that was something that fascinated me. And when I was writing about the making of this film, Omkara, Othello himself is a kind of love thief. He's not a lovable love thief, but he certainly steals the affections of a Brahmin's daughter.
Mm. So that is this in some way intended to say something about the movies themselves, about how they steal one's affections?
Well, I suppose you could. I hadn't thought of it exactly in those terms, but I think you're right, David. The whole fantasy that you engage in is in a sense, there is something surreptitious about it. There is something, you go into the darkened cinema hall and you are held captive there for a period of time, and your imagination is abducted by that filmmaker in that particular process. And you're absolutely right. I think there is something you allow yourself to be stolen.
And if there's, I'm sure that movie stars in the United States have their times when they're mobbed by fans, and you know they can't go down to the 7-Eleven to get a bag of Doritos or whatever. They just can't. They can't walk down the street without being bothered. I'm sure that the experience of Indian movie stars is it's what American stars have dealt with. Probably it's like nothing compared with the kind of adoration and everything that goes with it of Indian movie stars.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's times 10. And certainly the moments that I've experienced when I'm around a film star who is suddenly out in public, it's a mob scene, particularly the big names. And the security that they have to endure. I think I described one sequence where there are about 200 armed policemen as well as 50 private security guards surrounding these two, three stars that are on location. And even then you have mobs of 3,000-4,000 people trying to sort of get a glimpse of these stars. And it's just overwhelming.
Well, the book was a lot of fun, and I hope now that maybe we've encouraged some people listening to us to go out and look for some Indian movies and watch them, some Bollywood films, some true Bollywood films. And if you'd like to read more, you look for this book that we've mentioned, Fantasies of a Bollywood Love Thief, Inside the World of Indian Movie Making. It's published in paperback by Harcourt by our guest, Stephen Alter, who has authored 7 books of fiction and 4 of nonfiction. He was born and grew up in India and still lives there. He's here spending some time in the United States. Mr. Alter, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, David. Enjoyed talking with you.